everything. Kumlen la blanke mora. We are up to the flamidon bays in the bottom of the page. We just learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that if a goy lent chametz to a yid, a goy lent money to a yid, and the yid gave the security to the goy as chametz, then after Pesach, you're permitted to have permission. At this stage, we have no idea where the chametz is, but if you gave it to security as a goy, and the Gemara will discuss this soon, it will consider as if it's the goy's, and therefore the chametz is permitted after Pesach. But if a yid lent money to a goy and the goy gave his chametz as security, then it's as if it was the yid's chametz and it's forbidden to have anah. And we don't know right now where the chametz is sitting or anything else, but we treat it as if it's the yid's. Even though the yid can get paid money, but if he doesn't get paid money and he gets the security as payment, in lieu of payment, then it's as if it's retrospective and it was the yid's already prior to Pesach, and therefore it's chametz sha'over all of a Pesach. That's how most Australian learn. Okay, says the Gemara. An unrelated argument, but we'll come back to the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Itma, we learned, Bal Choy, when it comes to a Bal Choy. Abaya, let's say Reuben lends money to Shimon, and it comes to Shimon, obviously, all of his, there's a lien now on all of his properties. If I don't pay him money, you could take one of my properties. So Abaya says, Lemafreya hu goiva. If it ends up taking a property, it's not like the property became, was transferred ownership to the lender the day of payment, but rather from the moment of the loan, as if the property already belonged to the lender. And Rabbi says, no. Mikano lahabo goiva. It's from now on. You don't say it's retrospective, it's from now on. This argument is exactly the opposite of the argument of Yerushalayim Adas, where Abaya there says, it's not Yer, if a guy who lost something and then when he finds out he abandons over, Abaya says, we don't say it's retrospective, we say it happened right now, and Rabbi says, have a Yerush, it's retrospective, and we say it as if it happened before, which is, Anyway, says the Gemara, Kol Heicha, the act is, now what's the difference? What's the difference if it's retrospective or not? So the Gemara follows. Kol Heicha, the act is slaver, if the borrower went ahead and decided to donate his field to Kodesh, you know, the field that was already has a lien on it, to the lender. Vizavin Leiva, or he sold it to some a third party. Everyone agrees that the lender can come and take away the field from the buyer because he had a lien on it first. And but also Malviya Parik, and the Malva, the lender, goes over and redeems it from Hegdish, even though Rav himself said that Hegdish and Chometz liberating somebody is mafkia min ashibud. They take away and shichur. They cancel the shibud. If you give it to hegdish, it does cancel the shibud. So Rashi already explains and is showing you the difference. What kind of hegdish you make? There's two kinds of hegdishes. There's a hegdish which is called kedushas haguf, and there's a hegdish which is called kedushas damim. Kedushas haguf means you're making the item itself holy. Where you make the item itself holy, then it cancels completely any lien that was there previously. But if you're just making the value of it holy, then the fact that the malva was there first, he has a lien on it, therefore you cannot make the value of it holy. On the other hand, we don't want people to think that you can just take things back from Hegdish for nothing, gratis, so therefore we ask the malva to give one coin, doesn't matter what nomination, as if he's redeeming it. So he goes and parik. So in other words, if the labor, the moment he took the loan and he gave a lien to the malva, to the lender, the labor has no rights to sell or to give away. Fine. But now we learn, the lender has to add one coin, upoydas al chasim elu, and redeems these properties. Keep pligi, the argument is, the zovi malva. What happens if in the month of Nisan, the malva, the lender, lent money to the labor, to the borrower, and the due date is not until Sivan, and comes Sivan, the borrower says, look, I have the money, take the property. And the malva in the month of Nisan went ahead and donated it to somebody. Or he went ahead and he made it holy, sanctified it. Does the malva have to abide by it? Then he changes his mind. Do we say you had a right to make it, to donate it, so therefore that's it, it's done, or not? Keep pleading the argument by Rabbi, the Zovin malva, the Kodesh malva, the malva sold it to the malva, made it holy. Abai, he says, I'm afraid you gave it. Since now he got the property, that means all along it was his, so therefore his sale was a valid sale, even though he didn't have it physically in his hand, it's retrospective. Give the Mata Zin, the party, he came the due date, and the guy didn't pay. Iglai Milsam, afraid that revealed to us, the Mikar, the have a koi, it means all along it belonged to the lender, and therefore whatever deals he did, whatever transactions he did, they are valid. Vishapir Akhil Shapir Zovin, it was good that he made it holy, it's good that he sold it. And the Rebbe says, Mekan la boga. The Rebbe says, no, it's from now on. And Kivan the Ilu Havel Ezuzah, if he would have had money, Havel Mesal Gle Mezuzah, if he would have had money, He would have paid off the money. That means, till the very end, we didn't know if these properties will actually end up with the lender, because the borrower has every right to pay with money. In fact, his duty is to pay with money. This is like a second recourse. Therefore, Ishtakar, the Hashtakakoni, is as if now he made a decision to hand him over the property, and anything the lender did prior to this date has no validity. Okay, that's the argument. Says the Gemara, did Rav actually say this? So let me tell you a scenario and a comment of Rav that he made, which seems to fly in the face of what he said over here. Now, just to know a few rules over here, there's a rule we're going to learn that Yusaimin orphans, they don't have to pay their father's debts or their mother's debts. But if the lender, at the time of the loan, there was a property, or the time the father was alive, there was a property there, and therefore there's a lien from the lender on that property, and then the father passes away, then even though the children don't have to pay the father's debts, but the lender has a right to that property prior to the prior to the orphans, and therefore the lender can come and seize it. So the nechus and the assets are meshubet to the Baal Chayv, but they don't have to pay any money. And then we're going to introduce another concept called Shibud de Rav Nosson, famous Shibud de Rav Nosson. If Reuven owes money to Shimon, and in turn Shimon owes money to Levi, then it's as if Reuven owes that money directly to Levi himself. And Levi has a right to go to Reuven and bypass Shimon to collect that money. So here we have this story. So this is how it goes. Reuven, you have to halt kapir. Reuven shemocha sada l'Shimon. Reuven was a vendor, sold a field to Shimon, and achrayis. And usually, in fact, we have opinions in Gemara about Metzia that shtar achrayis toyaseferu. In other words, generally speaking, when people sell a property, they indemnify the buyer. If any lenders of the vendor come and try to seize the property, the vendor then has to reimburse the buyer, give him some kind of insurance. So Reuven sold a field to Shimon and he gave him that insurance, the achrayis. Then the Zokno Milva. Now Shimon didn't have any money on him, so Shimon now, in turn, owes money to Reuven. So Reuven owes a guarantee to Shimon, but Shimon now is a borrower and owes money to Reuven as the lender. Reuven is a lender, besides being a vendor, he's also a lender, and Shimon owes him money. But if Shimon loses the property, then Reuven owes money to Shimon. Then Reuven becomes a borrower. And what happened was, when Mace Reuven died, but also Valchav de Reuven, told him Shimon, came along the lender, one of the lenders of Reuven, and there was no other property to take. Because the law is you don't take property from a buyer unless if there are any other properties available. Nothing else available. So the lender went to Shimon and seized the property, wanted to seize the property. So now, if the lender would have taken the property away, then Reuven would have become, at the same time, he would have been a lender to Shimon, but also a borrower to Shimon, because Shimon still hasn't paid yet the money for the property, but Reuven also owes him now to insurance. But also Shimon, if I said bezuzis. So what Shimon did was, he went to the lender and he said, well, listen, don't take the property, let me pay you money, I like this property, let me pay you money, and then I'll go to the children, I'll contract, say, look, I owe you money still for the property, but your father owes me money because I just lost the property, I'm about to lose the property, so therefore we'll contract against each other. That was running through Shimon's mind. Dinuhu, by law, Shimon made a big error in judgment, a legal error. Why? The osur bnei Reuven, the children, the ears of Reuven could come. But Anush says, "Look, anan metaltel shavu gavur gaboch. Our father promised you money, right? He promised if you lose your property, he will pay you money. That's a loan. My father is a borrower to you. You're the lender. He owes you money, but we're not responsible to pay our father's debts. But metaltel yasal chayv mishtabli. We're not responsible to pay our father's debts. So we owe you nothing. You still owe us money for the field that you bought from our father. So we're taking the field back." Or we give us money. Give us money. That's what they said. Rabbi says, Shimon says, if Shimon was smart, if he had a good lawyer, this is what he would do. He would say, you're right, I still owe you the money. Magbaluhu Ara, he said, here, I don't have cash, here, take the property. But as soon as he takes the property, since it's the Mafreya who gave it, as if the father had the property when he was alive, and now the father is a borrower and he owes money to Shimon the lender to reimburse him for the property that Shimon lost, so then Shimon can say, guys, I'm taking the property back, because even though you don't have to pay your father's debts, but I have a lien on this property. Because if you hold like a bayil, a mafrei, a goyv, it's not a transaction that happened now. It reels all along when your father owed me the money. I had a lien on the very property sitting by me for that money. And therefore, and that lien took effect while your father was still alive. Then he takes the property right back. Nachman said, "Yisoimim should go with karka bechayvas aviyim." If heirs collected a property, somebody owed them money and gave them a property, then another lender come along and say, "Look, I know you guys don't have to pay your father's debts, but now that you collected this property on behalf of your father's debts, even though your father's dead, the lien was on this." This is how we understand Rav Nachman right now. The lien was on this property from the moment that the loan took place while your father was alive, because we follow a bayil mafreyu goyve, and therefore I'm seizing this property now, not because you owe me the money, but the property owes me the money. Now, if you follow a bayit, it says everything's retrospective. Therefore, it makes sense. I stand on Nachman, why collect? I stand Rav himself. Why, if Shimon would give the property back to the ears of Reuven, he can go and say, "Now give me the property back," because there's a lien all along on this property for the debt that your father owes me, because it doesn't happen right now, it happened back from the moment of the loan. The moment your father gave me insurance, the commander of Machayin Dabu and Dom, as if he elected while his father's alive. But yeah, you tell me Mekan Labo, okay, from now on, I'm Achay the Gezer Man. But if it's like Rava says, Mekan Labo, that means it only happened right now, while the father's dead, only the children got the property. Why if the children receive the property? Do they have to reimburse the Shimon, which is a deal that happened with their father, nothing to them? How the commander Zob and Yasmin Chossi, what would be if the orphans would have bought new properties? Did they have to pay their fathers? That's of course not. Dummy, Vilakonu Yasmin Chossi, if they would have bought properties, Mikom Mishtabdil Balchayv, are they Meshuvah Balchayv? Says the Gemara, you're mixing things up. Rab Nachman's law that says that if children, the heirs, collect a property on behalf of a debt to their father after the father died, another lender, somebody else who is a lender to your father, can come and seize the property. It's not because of the mafrei or goyve, it's as if it all took place from the moment of the loan when your father's alive. It's not pshat at all. Here we're invoking the rule of Shibud de Rav Nosson. The moment that this person owed money to your father, then this person and your father owed money to another person, then it's as if the third party owes money to the lender, to your father. And since they're both still alive, therefore the reason why he can come and collect the property is because he was already, the third party already had a lien on this property, because Shibud de Rav Nosson. Not because you get your father out of the picture. Not because of Afreya, it's because of Lahaba. But the debt was this person, the third, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Levi owed money to Shimon, Shimon owed to Reuven. Then Levi owed money to Reuven. Who cares if Shimon is dead? Who cares if the heirs have to pay the property? Levi owes the money directly to Reuven because of Shibud de Rav Nosson. And that's why Reuven can collect it. And in this case over here, it's Shimon and Reuven and Reuven and Shimon. Even though it's the same party, it's Shimon is the borrower and Shimon is the lender. It doesn't matter. We still say Shibud de Rav Nosson. That's what Rav is adding to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is talking about three different people. Comes along, Rav says, even if Shimon bodies two personalities, he's a borrower and a lender, he is the first and third person. So he owes money to Reuven, and Reuven owes money to himself. Therefore, he's allowed to take the property back. Shani Hasan Amalu Kihei, he says, Kihei Mishtabadin Leilavuchen, Mishtaban Al-Bachayv Davuchen. Since, true, I owed money to your father, but your father owed money to that third party. He says, if I owed money directly to that third party, Midir Amnosen for Amnosen, Netanya Amnosen, Amnosen says, Minayin, how do you know? If you owe your friend $100, and your friend owes $100, another person should might see him as a nation. How do you know that the third party can go to the first party and take it directly from them? Tam lema, tam posi. The nosam. It says that you should give lasher osham loy. It says you should return the money to the person. It doesn't say to the person you lent. It's the person that you are owing to or you're guilty to. That means what? The person that ultimately owns that principal. So we say that what? It goes back to the very first person that owns that principle. We only say that by property, not by money. And if Reuven owes money to Shimon, owes money to Levi, Levi can't come and seize money, but he can definitely take properties. Because properties already, there's a lien on the properties. Because, for example, if the borrower would have sold the property, everyone agrees that the vendor has a right to go and take it, seize it from the borrower, which means that the vendor has some rights in the property. Therefore, Shibud de Rav Nosson passes these rights on to the next party, to the ultimate bachayv. But metalklin, if you sell your car, the your lender has no right to go and take it, because what connection does he have with it? Because he never relied on it in the first place. Okay, back to the Gemara. Now, what does have to do with our Gemara here, with our Mishnah? We'll see in a minute. Says the Gemara, Tanan, in our Mishnah it says, Nochi a goy, Shehil v'es Yisro, if a goy lend money to a Yid, Al Chemtze, if a goy lend money to a Yid, And the Yid gave his whiskey as security achar Pesach, after Pesach mutubano. And then he paid the goy with security. It's as if the goy had the whiskey along. Doesn't that prove we follow a baile mafreyo goyva? It's as if it was the goy's all along, and therefore it's not chomesh avol Pesach. Question and rava. I am the mafreyo goyva. The baile says I bought it retrospective. I'm to look for mutubano. It's mutubano. Eli am the same kind of labo goyva. If you tell me about it, as if it happened right after the transaction took place. So during Pesach, whose chomesh was it? The Yid's chomesh. No, it's chomesh avol Pesach. And my mutabana, why is it permitted? He was in the shus of the Yid. Answers the Gemara, you misunderstood Pshat in the Mishnah. You know what we're talking about? You took the whiskey physically and placed it in the goy's house. That's why, even according to Rava, who says it's Mekan Lahaba, but because the whiskey was in the goy's house all the time, therefore it's not Chomach Avra Pesach. Says the Gemara, so Lema, let us say the Ketanoi. Let us say that this is actually a machlekes of Tanoim. Let's say this whole argument here is a discussion is a machlekes of Tanoim. Between Abai and Rabbah, two Tanoim are wrong. Where do you find that? This is what said the Braita says. Yisroel shehil vil nochri al chemtza, if a Eid lent money to a goy and gave whiskey. And the goy gave his whiskey to the Yid security. L'achra Pesach in Oiva. After Pesach, you're not over because Chomach Ovla Pesach. And so he says, right, all he says is, we don't know where the whiskey is sitting. All he says is that if a Yid lent money to a Goy and the Goy said, I'm giving you a security of whiskey, and then after Pesach, it's considered as if the whiskey still belonged to the Goy, it's not Chomach Ovla, you'll have to have a no. It's as if it was the Yid's all along and the Yid was over. Now, what's the argument? Isn't that the argument? By Rabbi. My lab, Bahaka Mifki. The Meir holds, Marsova, my Freyog, the Meir holds that is retrospective. Therefore, whose chametz, whose wine, whose whiskey was it during Pesach? It was the Yid's and the Yid's over. Marsova, Mekan Lahabo, Gaver. The Meir holds, no, it's Mekan Lahabo. It's as if it's from now on, and therefore, it was the Goy's chametz throughout Pesach because he only paid it after Pesach, and therefore, it's Mutter. Second over Tidbrus. Does that really make sense? Think for a second. Ema Sefer, read the next part of the Sefer. The next part. Avnochri Shehil Vili Yisrael, a goy who lent money to a Yid. If a goy lent money to a Yid, Al Chemtza, the Yid gave his vodka or his whiskey security, La Achara Pesach, according to Pesach, Divri Hakol Oiver. Everyone says that you were Oiver, it was the Yid's whiskey, and therefore you were Oiver. Now, Lachayda, why? According to that mayor that says that if the goy gave you security whiskey and he paid you after Pesach, you're over because he says retrospective. So in this case, if the Yid gave his whiskey to a goy and then he paid it the whiskey over to the goy after Pesach, then we should make it retrospective and therefore, or retroactive, and we should therefore say it was the goy's chametz all along and should be mutter. What do you mean everyone holds your oivir? But if the man doesn't have some oivir, the one who says over there that you're not oivir, it was the goyiz the whole time, here was the yiz the whole time, because the same account lahaba, you only had transferred it ownership after Pesach. The man doesn't have some oivir, you're not oivir. What's going on here? Elo, we're talking about, like we said before, what happened was, both the reish and the sefer, the borrower took the security and gave it over to the goy. So then, since in the first case, he gave it over to the goy, we'll soon see what the machlekes is. So when the Yid borrowed money from the goy, he gave security whiskey to the goy. So one opinion says you're not over because it was sitting by the goy the whole Pesach. And the other opinion says you are over. We'll see in a minute why you're over. L'chayit, if it's sitting by the goy, why are you over? But in the other case, where the goy gave security to the Yid, gave his whiskey to the Yid, then everyone knows the Yid is over. We'll see in a minute why. What's the crux of their argument? Nothing to do with Koinu Mafreina. The question is, what is the relationship between a borrower, a lender, and the security that he receives? Does the lender have any rights to that security or not? And this is what Rav Yitzchak said. Rav Yitzchak said, it says in the Pasuk that you should return the security. If a guy is very poor, impoverished, you should give him back his blankets at night, take it from him in the morning. And the Pasuk says, Ulucho ti yetzdoke. It will be reckoned as if you were very magnanimous, you were charitable. Now, so the Yitzchak, if it belongs to the borrower, how is that charitable? But if you tell me that I have certain own rights of ownership, it's mine, and I'm giving it to this impoverished person every night, then I'm giving tzedakah. So Rabbi Yitzchak proves from here that you are koine your mashkin. Second mother, Rabbi Yitzchak, menayin lebal chayv shekane mashkin, hayin lebal chayv is koine his mashkin. Now it says, lechoti et tzedakah, for you will be reckoned at tzedakah. Imeinu koine mashkin, if they're telling me that the lender has no rights to this mashkin, tzedakah menayin, what kind of tzedakah is there? Mikan, from here we learn out, the Baal Choyv should kind of mashkin. Baal Choyv has rights to the mashkin, will have a Gemara Kedushin, all about whether he gave a Kedushin to a woman, whether it's valid or not, and so on. And we'll see. Now, Tosfos and most and the Rebbeinu Sharon ask, there's two periods when you can give a mashkin. One is at the time of the loan, that's called B'shas L'Bosay, and one is a time of payment, and I can't pay. I say, look, take the security and let me extend the loan. That's called Shalei B'shas L'Bosay. The Yitzchak Din is actually talking about Shalei B'shas L'Bosay. I come to get payment, you don't have payment, you give me security. That's when we say it's a form of payment, so I have rights to it. He doesn't talk about a case where at the time of the loan you're giving me to have confidence, so you give me some security. Who said that Yitzchak says you have some ownership? So Tosfos wants to say that since you have ownership, B'shas L'Bosay, Shalei B'shas L'Bosay, it means that you have some kind of ownership also even B'shas L'Bosay as well. Because when Shalei B'shas L'Bosay is completely yours, so as far as Chametz is concerned, we'll treat it, it's called Bal Yematz. Remember, it doesn't have to be totally yours, even if you cannot see it, but it can be found. Some tenuous connection. We even said if you take responsibility, it's yours, even though it's not really yours, you take responsibility. So Chametz is stricter, and Chametz, even B'shas Havosa, the security gave initially at the time of the loan, is also considered yours as far as the Isur of Bal Yematze is. Then there's a big machleket also for Shreyim, when we say that it's yours, and how far are you responsible? Are you responsible only like a Shreyim Mesachar if it got stolen or lost, but if it's an accident, it's not your fault? Or even Einzin, like Rashi says, it's like totally yours, and therefore you're responsible even if an accident happens. In other words, if he pays you money, and you don't have security to reimburse him, to give back to him because an accident happened, then you have to pay him back the money. Says the Gemara, what does it do with our Gemara here? It goes as follows. Tanakama Sava, the first Tana holds, Hani Mili Yisro Misro. The Tanakama holds, when do we say that only one Yid gets to receive security from another Yid? He has ownership. The Karina baby, say the Chati, it's Dokka, you have ownership. Aviso Menachel Lekani. A Yid is not Kani from a Goy. So in the first case, we're talking about the Goy gave security to a Yid. His whiskey, but the yid is not kind of the mashkin, and therefore it's permitted. Mashenken Rameh says no, the yid owns it, and so it's chametz she'avod olava pesach. Rameh holds kavu chomer. On the contrary, Yisrael me Yisrael madoch a yid who has a strong kinyonim. Yet when he gives him security, koni, it belongs to the lender. Yisrael menochri lekoshkin. Surely yid from a guy, surely it should belong to the lender. But in the second case in the Braisa, where the Yid lent money, a Goy lent money to a Yid, and the Yid gave his security to the Goy, everyone agrees the Goy is not Koiner, so whose security was it? It was the Yid's, and therefore it's Chomet She'over Olav HaPesach, Achapesach Hakol Oiver, Hosam Vadi, everyone agrees, Nochri Mi Yisrael HaKoiner, the whole argument is of a Yid from a Goy. A man says, surely a Yid from a Goy is Koiner, I want to say no, but a Goy from a Yid definitely is not Koiner. So now Gemara will say, how do we explain our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah clearly says, now it's in our Mishnah, Nochri Shehilvu Yisrael Achemtzi, if a Goy lent money to a Yid, and the Yid gave security to a Goy, and we're learning it's a Hidinu, he gave it to, puts in the Goy's house, Achra Pesach Mutvanoth, Pemidim Hanoh, you just said that a Goy is not Koine the Mashkin from a Yid, according to everybody, yet our Mishnah says that if the Yid gave security to the Goy, his whiskey, then after Pesach, it's treated as if it was the Goy's security, and the Yid can keep it. And Chomet Shavu Pesach, it's not considered Chomet Shavu Pesach, and you let have Hanoh. Which is different than the Braisa, which is that everyone agrees. So you want to ask, Nihina Medina, that's true, you gave it to the guy in place in his house. So Amin Nochmi Sola Kani, you said, but a minute ago you just said that a guy is not coming from the Yid. So whose Chametz was it during the Pesach? It was a Yid's Chametz in a guy's house. So it's Chametz over the Pesach. Just because you put it in a place in a guy's house doesn't exempt you or exonerate you from the laws of Chametz and you're over for having your Chametz. So you're like, cash is not a problem. Hoda Omele Ma'achshav, Hoda Omele Ma'achshav. It's talking about, remember, Rava does not believe in retrospectivity. Over here, we're talking about where Rava came along and said that if you add the word ma'achshav, you say, look, if I don't pay you the money after Pesach, then the whiskey is yours, me'achshav. From now on, I clearly spelled out as retrospective. And the Rabbis might, if you clearly spelled out retrospective, then it turned out to be whose chametz was it during Pesach? It was the guy's chametz. So therefore, we say in such a case that it's considered the goys and therefore it's mutter. But in the other case where the Braisa said that everyone agrees that it's also stolen, you didn't say ma'achshav. So when was it transferred to the goy? Only after Pesach. And the goy does not acquire it, has no rights on the security he gives him. And therefore it's chometz v'l'shavla. Pesach belonged to the Eden's also. And how do we know? How do we know the Shonilon, there's a difference between the Omer Ma'achshav and Hechel Ma'achshav? How do you know there's a difference? If you said the word Ma'achshav, you didn't say the word Ma'achshav. How do you know there's a difference? The Tanya, we learned, Nochri, we look at another Braisa. Nochri Goy, Shehidi, and he left over Paspurni, a very large bread, Eitzei Yisroel. As Ashi explains, our ovens, the ovens in the house are very small. They used to make very, you know, have a very portable, it was portable ovens. They used to make tiny bread, put on the sides. But a proper big oven, like a baker's oven, we can make large pieces of bread. He gave a large piece of bread, Eitzei Yisroel, by Yid, over Pesach. Ain't no oiver. Then the Yid is not oiver because it's the guy's chametz. But the Imam Allah, he told him, he gatich. He says, it's yours. That from now, then oiver. Now, we don't know yet. He just said, gaitik, you can have it. It is oiver. What's the chilek if he says gatif or he didn't say gatif? Why in the first case we say that the Eid is not over, it's a goy's chametz and the sefer, when after Pesach says he got it, suddenly the Eid is over, what's the difference? When he said he got it, he meant from now, from prior to Pesach, so it was the Eid's chametz, he's over. When he did not say he got it, it only became yours after Pesach, if you're not over. Shmamino proves it. So Torah, talking about these dinim, Torah Bon, if he learns, Chanusha Yisrael, a Yiddish store. What happened? You have a Yiddish store. Umulay Yisha Yisrael, but all the Scheide belongs to a Yid. But all the workers are Goyim. Nichnasim L'sham. They're walking there all the time. The employees are all Goyim, but the store belongs to a Yid, and the merchandise is all Jewish. What happened? You find chametz. The chametz in the shom achar Pesach, aser bano. If you find any chametz, there's aser bano. We don't say it probably came from the workers. We say it must be some of the scheider and was the yids. Ain't so chleim ba'achil. You're not allowed to eat it. What about chanush shenoch a goyish store? Umloish shenoch in the merchandise of the goy. You poily Yisrael, Yiddish workers there. Nichnasin v'yetsin shom, enter and go out. Chametz shenintz shom Pesach. If you find chametz at Pesach, we'll say that probably belongs to the owner or to the merchandise of the store. Mutter ba'achil. You're allowed to eat, and you're allowed to have anor from all of that. Okay, Mishnah. We already had mentioned this previously. Chometz shenafla, you have chometz that have avalanche fell on it. Had a kimavuya, it's as if it's destroyed. In other words, it's as if it's destroyed. It sounds like you don't have to do anything on Pesach with it. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, says, kol she'ein hakel of yichoch lachab zachrov. It's only provided that it's buried deep enough that a dog cannot sniff it and bring it up. Otherwise, we're scared that during Pesach will bring it up, and you might stumble and eat from it, so therefore you have to search for it and destroy it. Regardless, you have to make bittul, because maybe it will uncover on its own during Pesach, and then you will be over. So Rashi again says you're only over on it once you find it. Prior to that, you're not over, because chomet she'eni yidua, you're not over. Tony, we learned kama chapisa chelev. How deep does it have to be buried that a dog can no longer sniff it out? Shloisha tvachim has to be three tvachim deep. When it comes to money, the best place to hide money is under the ground, especially if you're a shomer, you have to take care of it, so therefore this is your responsibility to dig it in the ground. He says here, you have to dig it that deep, bury it three tefachim under the ground. So he says no. Hasam, when it comes to money, you have to hide it so nobody can see it. Different. Therefore, the requirement that we'll soon see is less. But over here, we're talking about smelling. Smelling, the dog has a very strong sense of smell, and therefore it has to be buried at least 3 tefachim. So how deep do you have to bury money? From sicher to tefach, you have to bury it 1 tefach. Mishnah. Ha'oichel, we already had before about eating hekdesh of chametz. If somebody eats, now, when you eat a koyin's truma, there's a difference if you did it deliberately or you did it b'shayig. Did it deliberately, okay, chayim is in the shemayim. But you're a ganef and you have to reimburse the koyin, whatever the value is of that particular chametz. But if you did it b'shayig, it's not your fault, you didn't realize it was truma, you need a kapara. So you have to pay back the principal and pay back a fifth. But what you pay, the Torah says, pay back with similar merchandise. So you pay back with merchandise, not with money. And because it's a kapara. And therefore we can say as follows. If you ate chametz on Pesach, it has nil value. So if you did it b'mezid, what did you steal from the kohen? Nothing of value because it was chametz. Therefore, you pay him nothing. You don't pay back the, like a ganav who steals nothing. We'll see later in the Gemara, you know, if you steal something which is osur b'anav. So therefore, you don't have to pay back the thing. If it's truma, which is, let's say, tame, you can burn it and enjoy that. Pay maybe at least as if it was wood, you can have some hana. But chametz, you can have any hana whatsoever. But if you did it b'shegig, even though it has no value, the Torah doesn't say you have to pay back value. The Torah says pay back the same idea. You stole two apples, pay back two apples. So therefore, we don't care if it has value, it has nil value. You have to, b'shegig, you have to pay back. Says the Mishnah, ha'oichel trumas chametz b'pesach. He ate truma, which happened to be chametz on Pesach b'shegig, and that's written, mishalom, you have to pay keren the chemish. You pay back the keren, the principal, and you pay back the chemish, the fifth. But the mezid, if you did it deliberately, if you ate the truma deliberately, potter mitashlumin, you are potter from paying back, even though you didn't know it was chametz, it doesn't matter. Potter from paying back umid me'etzim. You potter even for paying back the value as if it was wood, so that you can, if it was, let's say, truma tomeya, you can have some benefit from it. Here you have zero value. And if you didn't me'etzim, all you gotta do is pay back the value. Second one, I'm going to mention, oichel truma, b'shoyeg, you ate truma by mistake, mishalom, kerev, chaymish, you pay back the principal on the fifth. Echad oichel, whether you ate it, the echad ashesah, whether you drank it, the echad hasach, whether you use it to smear it, because asiches b'chlal shtias, smearing it is just like drinking it. Echad truma tmeya, regardless whether it's truma tmeya, the echad truma tahira, whether it's truma tahira, mishalom, you pay, chaymish, you pay the penalty, if it's b'shoyeg. You pay that fifth, and the chaimshu, and then if you ate the value of that fifth that you have to give to the coin, you got to pay a fifth of that, and it goes on endlessly till it goes to less than a putta. So Yiboylu have a question. Kishu mishalib. Okay, actually, we'll stop right here by the Boilu, and we'll continue tomorrow. Mitzvah Shem.